Well, you may be seated. You know, I was thinking a few minutes ago that one of the last times that I took I was involved in a meal like this, I was in Israel. And we had a wonderful family invite our team in, and we just, actually, it was a Sabbath meal, wasn't the Passover, but we were able to come in with them and sit down and share with them, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm excited this time to be able to do it with you guys. Now, if you need a place to sit or you've got places next to you, raise your hand. You got places? Get up and move next to one of the people whose hands are raised. All right, praise God. Well, it's great to be here tonight. I'm really excited, and I'm extremely blessed to be able to tonight to share this with a brand new brother in the Lord, Dan Sered. He and I had never met before tonight, but Dan is a missionary with Jews for Jesus and has been serving in that capacity. How long, Dan, again? So over 18 years. We honor you for that, Dan. Praise God. Dan is here. Dan actually lives in Tel Aviv, or just outside of Tel Aviv. And so he is a Messianic Jewish believer. And if he wants to tell any of his story, I'll let him do that. But Dan has been serving the Lord and among the Jewish people and ministering to them and for a long, long time. And it's an honor to have Dan here tonight. And so without any further ado, I want to turn this over to Dan. Dan, come on up. Everybody give Dan a big welcome as he comes up tonight.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
So Dan's the father of the house tonight. And so he's going to lead us through our Passover meal this evening. So Dan, God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor. And thank you, everyone. Shalom. It is truly an honor and a privilege for me to be here with you all tonight and to lead you in this Passover. Now, as you think about Passover and the story of Passover, you know, if you were going to ask some Jewish boys and girls who is the hero of Passover, who do you think that they would say? Who is the hero of Passover? Moses, right? You guys know the story. I'm sure you read the book of Exodus or maybe saw one of the films, right? And that is absolutely true. Moses is the hero of Passover, but it's not the whole truth. You see, if you're going to ask some Jewish boys and girls who know the Messiah that very same question, who is the hero of Passover, they might tell you that it's Jesus. Now, perhaps you're asking yourself, what does Jesus got to do with the Passover? I mean, Passover is Jewish. Well, so is Jesus. And not only did Jesus celebrate the Passover every year while he dwelt among us on earth, but I believe that he's clearly pictured in all the symbols of Passover and in the story of Passover itself. For the message of Passover is the promise of redemption. And the story of Passover is the story of our liberation from bondage. So tonight, as we participate in this traditional Passover settings, it's my hope that you view it as more than just participation and explanation of tradition, but that you'll view it as I view it, as an object lesson in the life and mission of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look closely tonight, because I believe you'll see a clear picture of his death, his resurrection, and the promise for his return. Now, if you got your Bibles with you tonight, Would you please take out your Bibles, open your Bibles, or turn on your Bibles, whatever it is we do today, I don't know. And we're going to be reading three quick verses from the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 7, 8, and then we'll skip to verse 13, okay? So Luke 22, verses 7, 8, and then 13, okay? Are you all with me? Amen. Here we go. So Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 7. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat it." Skip to verse 13. And they left and found everything just as Jesus, as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. Now, the first night of Passover begins a seven-day holiday called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And during this time of Passover, eat nothing that contains any leaven or yeast. Why no leaven? Well, throughout Scripture, leaven is frequently used as a symbol of sin. In olden times, a small piece of leaven was used to ferment an entire portion of dough. It was the leaven that caused the dough to rise, to become puffed up, just as sin causes us to become puffed up in our own eyes. So during this time of Passover, we eat no leaven as a way of saying that we want to break the daily sin cycle that's in our own lives. And that's why in Jewish homes, for up to 6 weeks prior to the Passover, the house undergoes a complete spring cleaning. We remove all cookies, cakes, breads, cereals, biscuits, donuts, Cinnabons, yes. Anything that has any leaven in it. And after that's done, the home is cleansed and it's ready for the Passover celebration. And you know, Passover is indeed a great celebration. But my ancestors were instructed to eat that first Passover meal with their loins girded, with their staves in their hands, and with their sandals on their feet, ready to go at a moment's notice. But tonight at Passover, we relax, and we recline on pillows. Maybe you're wondering, pillows? Why pillows? Well, you see, in ancient Middle Eastern societies, only the free could recline at dinner on pillows. Only the redeemed. Now, on Passover, the head of the household puts on special ceremonial garments. He wears a white robe like this one. This robe in Hebrew is called a kittel. Now, you probably know that Jewish men often cover their heads as a sign of respect before God. And normally we wear something like this called a yarmulke. But at Passover, the head of the household wears something a little bit more elaborate. Royal robes and the symbol of a crown. Because at Passover, the head of the household is a king. Now, as a king, he guides his family through the traditional Passover seder. Seder is a Hebrew word which means order, and that's because the Passover celebration follows a specific order of service. That order of service is found in this book. This book is called Haggadah. Haggadah is another Hebrew word which means the telling. Now, right on your tables, all of you have this Christ in the Passover pamphlet, okay? Take it out. This is going to kind of serve as our Haggadah for tonight's service. It's kind of like our program, and it will help you kind of follow along as I go through the different elements so you can check it out. Okay, well, I see that everything is about ready. Now, there is a customary greeting at Passover which goes like this. Let all who are hungry come and eat. Now, don't get excited. I'm not really going to serve a great meal here tonight. But just the same, the invitation stands. Come, celebrate the Passover with me. Now, At Passover, since we handle food and we are going to try some of the food elements tonight from the Passover service, I don't know how it is here in Texas, but, you know, I was born and raised in Israel, and, you know, I'm not sure how moms in Texas are, but my Jewish mother always told me that before you eat, you should do what? Wash your hands, right? You see, so it's not just Jewish mamas who say that. So we're going to start tonight with them washing of the hands. And please remember that when Jesus celebrated the Passover Seder, that Last Supper, do you remember what he did? He didn't just wash the disciples' hands, but he actually washed the disciples' feet, right? So tonight we are going to wash our hands, but let us remember the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who came down to earth and served the disciples and really practiced them servant leadership. Okay, so all of you have, I believe, a little cup there. There's one with an S, that's salt water, don't use that. There's another one, same size as the one with the S, and just kind of ceremonially, dip your fingers in the water, you know, and then just wipe it off. Remembering what Jesus did for the disciples. Well, the next thing that we do to begin the Passover is the lighting of the candles. Now, the lighting of the candles is always the duty and honor of the woman of the house, but my wife isn't here with me. She's back home in Israel with our three children. So if you don't mind, I'll do the duty of lighting the candles. But ladies, open this Christ in the Passover brochure, and you will see that there is a blessing here over the candles. What we're going to do is I'm going to light the candles, and I'm going to recite the blessing in Hebrew. And then all you ladies, but just the ladies, okay, you will say the blessing together in English as found in your pamphlet, okay? You got it? Everybody's with me?
Yeah.
Amen? Okay, here we go. So, she would light the candles. And after lighting the candles, she would recite the traditional Hebrew prayer, which goes like this. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu leadlik ner shel yom tov. Ladies? Amen. You know, I think that it's really fitting that a woman kindles these lights, for it could remind us that the Messiah, the light of the world, would not come from the seed of man, but he would come from the seed of a woman and by the will of God. As the prophet Isaiah foretold, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, a light to light the world." Now, Passover isn't just a meal. It's a banquet. And it's not just a service. It's really a ceremony. And you know, while a meal and a service might take just 1 or 2 hours, the Passover ceremony takes a total of 4 hours. So aren't you excited about a full 4 hours of service for us tonight? Amen? Now, during those 4 hours, each adult will drink from his cup and refill it 4 times. The first cup is this one, and it's called the Kiddush cup, or the cup of sanctification. Then we have the second cup, which is called the cup of plagues. Then we have the third cup. Now, the third cup is the focal point of the entire Passover service. The third cup is called the cup of redemption. And then we have the fourth cup, which is called the cup of Hallel, or the cup of praise. But it is with this first cup, the Kiddush cup, or the cup of sanctification, that the head of the house, the head of the household, follows a blessing, says a blessing for the rest of the night. Okay? So I'm going to do the blessing, but before that, let me just explain. All of you, you have a cup with some grape juice right in front of you. Okay, now, tonight, this cup has to last you four cups worth of drinking, okay? So you just need to take a sip, okay? So right now, you're not going to down the whole thing, right? Just take a small sip, because we're going to drink the whole thing by the end of the night, okay? So the head of the household, I'm holding the Kiddush cup aloft. He offers praise and thanks to God Almighty, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. In Hebrew, he blesses, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Let's partake. So now the evening has been sanctified, and now the Passover has officially begun. And now the youngest person present comes forward to ask the meaning of Passover. He or she asks the traditional four questions which are found in the Haggadah. Okay, so now I really need your help. This might be a little bit complicated, but we're going to do this, okay? I need to find the youngest person who is here tonight who knows how to read, okay? So let's try to do it. And Pastor, can I have your mic, please? Because they're going to use your mic here. Okay, so you guys have to help me, okay? Otherwise, we're going to stay here for 4 hours. So, come on. How old are you? How old is she? Eight? She eight? Did I hear right?
I think that's right, yes.
You're eight, right? Is there somebody here younger than eight who knows how to read? Okay, right here. Okay. Knows how to read and want to come up. Okay. That's another condition. Okay, anybody else, or should we go with the 8-year-old? Going once, going twice. Okay, come on over. Thank you, Pastor. Is this on? Great. What's your name?
Shiloh.
Shiloh, nice to meet you. I'm Dan.
Nice to meet you.
Hold this and speak to the mic, okay? Shiloh, do you go to this church?
Yes.
Speak to the mic.
Yes.
Excellent. Do you go to Sunday school?
Yes.
Is it fun?
Yes.
That kid zone is pretty cool, huh? Can I come and play after the service?
Yeah.
No, I'll probably break it. But great. So you go to this church and you go to a Sunday school. Excellent. So Shiloh is going to ask for us the four questions asking the meaning of Passover. And here you go. Can you read right here? Shiloh, you don't know how to read Hebrew? What are you guys teaching your children in Sunday school? I don't know. Pastor, we're going to have to talk about it at breakfast tomorrow, okay? I'm sorry. They don't teach you Hebrew here, huh? Well, don't worry about it. You're at luck, because I actually speak Hebrew. Because, you know, in Israel, that's what we speak. So I'll chant for us the first question, okay, in Hebrew. And then, Shiloh, you're going to translate for everybody, okay? Here we go. So the first question goes something like this. Ma nishtana ha-layla hazeh mikol ha-laylot? Which means?
Why is this night different from all other nights?
Wonderful. You see, you speak Hebrew after all. Thank you so much. Give her a hand. Go back to your seat. Thank you. So, why is this night different from all other nights? Well, those of us who know the story of Passover are obligated to respond. This is because of what the Lord has done for me. When He brought me out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, when He redeemed me with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Brothers and sisters, redemption is is the very heart of Passover. But Passover imparts more than God's message of redemption. It imparts God's means of redemption through the sacrifice of a Passover lamb. My ancestors were instructed to take a spotless lamb, to roast it whole without breaking any of its bones, and to apply its blood to the doorposts of our homes, to the top doorpost, the lintel, and to the two side posts. Now, because of our obedience to God's command, and because of our faith in the effectiveness of His provision, we were spared the ravages of the 10th plague to befall the land of Egypt. For when the Lord saw the blood on our doors, He forced death to pass over. That's where we get the name Passover. In Hebrew, the holiday is called Pesach, and it's the holiday which commemorates the time when death passed over the houses of Israel. But why? Why did death pass over? Because of the blood of the lambs, the Passover lamb. What a mighty act of redemption. Yes. But what a picture of an even greater redemption through the sacrifice of another Passover lamb, the Messiah Jesus. For just as none of those bones or those first lambs were broken, so none of Jesus' bones were broken in His death. And just as my ancestors had to apply in faith the blood of the lambs to the doorposts of their homes, so each one of us here tonight must apply in faith the blood of the Messiah to the doorposts of our hearts. The child then asks another question. Why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread? And we explain, our ancestors in their haste to leave Egypt had to take their bread with them while it was still flat. Now, one of the items that are found on the Passover table is this item over here. And this item is called matzah tash. And inside here are three layers of matzah, or of unleavened bread. Here is the first layer. And each layer is separated from the next one by some cloth. Now, at Passover, the head of the household removes the middle layer. He recites a blessing, and then he breaks it in two. One half he sets aside, and the other half he gives a very special name. He calls it Afikomen. Try saying that with me. Afikomen. Very good. Now, Afikomen is not a Hebrew word. It's actually a Greek word, and it means that which comes later. So, church, take a guess. Do we eat Afikomen now? No, right? Comes later. Right now, it is placed in this pouch and it is buried. It is hidden. No one around the Passover table knows where the Afikomen is placed. But later on, all the children will have to come forward and they would have to find it, or otherwise the Passover service won't be concluded. So, all you children out there, now it's a time for you to close your eyes. No peeking. Okay, no peeking. Close your eyes. I'll hide the Afikomen, and later on you'll come up and try to find it. Okay, kids? So, close your eyes. Are all your eyes closed? Kids? Yes? Okay, kids, open your eyes. The child then asks two more questions. On this night, why do we eat only bitter herbs? And why on this night do we dip our food twice when normally we don't even dip it once? Well, let me explain that to you by showing you this. This is called a Seder plate, and despite its appearance, it's not used for deviled eggs. A symbolic piece of food from the Passover table is placed into each one of these compartments, and all these symbols together give you a picture of redemption. The first item on the Seder plate is called karpas, or greens. Now, for these greens, we generally use parsley or lettuce. And these greens, oops, know. These greens, they represent life. But before we're going to eat these greens, we're going to dip them in salt water. Salt water represents the tears of life. So by dipping and eating, we're reminded that a life without redemption is a life that's immersed in tears. Do you see the tears? So now you all have some parsley and just dip it in the cup that says S on it, not the cup that you wash your hands with, okay? Don't confuse it. And then just let's partake. Parsley is very good for you, even if you don't like it. Now, the next item on the Seder plate is this one, and this is called the chazeret. For this item, we generally use an onion or horseradish root, and this item is the root of the bitter herb, and this item reminds us that the root of life is bitter, as it certainly was for our ancestors in Egypt, right? I mean, even here today, the root of life, the beginning of life, right? Right, ladies? It's bitter, it's difficult, it's harsh, right? Well, can you imagine giving birth as slaves in Egypt? Can you imagine being born as a slave in Egypt? Well, the root of life was certainly bitter for my ancestors in Egypt. Now, the next item on the Seder plate is the bitter herb itself, and this is freshly ground horseradish. And now we're instructed to take a full teaspoon of horseradish and eat it. Are there any volunteers? Do you know what happens when you eat a full teaspoon of horseradish? You cry. You have little choice in the manner. This is between the horseradish and your sinuses, and the horseradish always wins, okay? Now, before we partake, let me explain something, okay? Seriously speaking, you are supposed to cry as you eat this. Why? Because you're supposed to experience, just for a little bit, the pain, the suffering that it is to have a life as a slave without any redemption. You're supposed to understand the tragedy, the sadness, the hardness, the difficulty of being a slave in Egypt without redemption. So, all of you have some horseradish right there on your plate, and you can take it just with your fork if you want, or you can take it a little bit with matzah, okay? And you're taking it on your own risk. You have some water there that you can try afterwards. And if you're not crying, you can come up here and you can finish this entire bowl, okay? So here you go. You can partake. Okay, how are we doing? By the way, horseradish goes really well on steak. Okay, let me just say, it's very good on steak. Okay. You guys eat some steaks in Texas, right? I think so, yes, you do. Yeah. Good. Good. Okay, well, the next item on the Seder plate, by way of contrast, we have the charoset. And this item represents the mortar that our ancestors used when they had to make bricks for Pharaoh. This dish is made up of chopped apples, honey, nuts, and it tastes delicious. Now, you may be wondering why such a sweet mixture is used to represent such bitter and some harsh and such difficult labor. Well, don't worry, we have a terrific explanation. We explain even the most difficult and harsh labor, even the labor of a slave, is sweetened by just having the hope for redemption, by just having the hope for freedom. Brothers and sisters, please remember that the children of Israel had that hope. They had that hope. Why? Because God, the promise keepers, made a promise to Abraham. And in that covenant that God made with Abraham, he promised him that his seed will be great. He promised him that his seed would dwell in the land that is flowing with milk and honey. So even though the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, they had that promise for redemption. And just having that promise and that hope was sweet to them. So now, take a little bit of matzah and try some of the charoset. It's truly delicious. Now, whoever made this charoset did an excellent job. It's delicious. And let me also stop and say that I think it was right there, one new man class who kind of set all this up, right? You guys did an excellent job, so you guys really deserve a hand, so praise God for you. Now I got to tell you something about Jewish people. You know, most Jewish people, and this might come as a shock to you maybe, but you know, most Jewish people are secular. Not just in the United States, but also in Israel. Most Jewish people are either atheists or agnostics. So, of course, they wouldn't celebrate Easter, right? And, of course, the Orthodox Jews and, you know, more the religious Jews, of course, they wouldn't celebrate Easter either. Really, only the few Jewish people who believe in Jesus celebrate Easter, right? So, the next item on the Seder plate, please, don't confuse it with an Easter egg, okay? This is not an Easter egg. I know Easter is coming, but this is not an Easter egg. Jewish people don't celebrate Easter, right? This is called the Chagigah. Chagigah was the special name that was given to the special temple sacrifice that was sacrificed in Jerusalem during Passover. We roast the egg, and that turns it brown. The egg, the Chagigah, is a token of grief to my people, grief over the destruction of the Second Temple. During the Passover Seder, we peel the egg, slice it. It's given to each person around the table. But before we eat the egg, we dip it in salt water, which represents what?
Tears.
That's right, tears. But the egg is not only a token of grief, because we all know that egg is also a symbol of new life. Amen?
Yeah.
So now, partake of the egg. Take the egg, dip it in salt water, and you can partake. I know you're used to having eggs and bacon, but again, remember, Jewish, right? Jewish, so. Now, the last item on the Seder plate, probably the strangest one of all, is this one. This is called the Zroa. This is the shank bone of the lamb. Passover is sometimes known as the feast of the Passover lamb. And yet, in most Jewish homes at Passover, roasted lamb is not eaten. You see, the lambs that we used to eat at Passover were the Passover sacrifices. But in 70 AD, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and so was the altar where the sacrifices were performed. So from that time to this day, no sacrifices have been made, and so no lambs are eaten at Passover. Instead, the egg and the shank bone of the lamb remind us of all those sacrifices that are no longer offered. Now, the presence of these two elements, the egg and the shank bone, raises a very interesting and important question. With no temple, with no altar, and with no sacrifices, how is it possible to atone for our sins? For the law of Moses states very clearly. It says so in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 11. God is speaking and he says, I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of life that makes atonement. Now, some people, both Jewish people and Gentiles, might say, well, you know, perhaps that was important 2,000 years ago, but it has no bearings on our lives today, does it? Well, doesn't it? If not, then why are we instructed to take the story of Passover personally, as though each one of us was being brought out of the land of Egypt? You see, I think we're supposed to take the story of redemption personally, because each one of us needs to be redeemed. But with no sacrifices, how is redemption even possible? With no Lamb of God, how? Once, nearly 2,000 years ago, there lived a Jewish man named Yohanan. You know him better as John, John the Baptist. And one day, while baptizing people in the River Jordan, his gaze fell upon the form of another Jewish man, his cousin, a man named Yeshua. You know him better as Jesus. And John declared, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's how. Redemption not through the blood of lambs. Redemption through the blood of the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, Messiah, Jesus. Well, it's now time for the second cup, the cup of plagues. Now, in Jewish tradition, a full cup represents complete joy. But in one sense, at Passover, our joy is not complete. At this point in the service, we dip our finger 10 times and we let 10 drops fall onto our plates as we recite the 10 plagues that were poured out upon the Egyptians. Now, we're going to do this all together. But let me explain why we're going to do this, okay? Because we are going to remove from our joy. By doing this, we're going to express sorrow over the destruction of the Egyptians, okay? So let me tell you exactly how we're going to do this. Okay, I have here a list of the 10 plagues. And I'm going to read first, okay? So I'm going to say blood, and I'm going to put one drop. And then all of you are going to do the same, right? You're going to dip your finger, and you're all going to say blood together, right? And then I'll say frogs, and then you'll say frogs, okay? You got it? Everybody's with me? Also on this side of the room, you guys are with me? Got it? Here we go. So here we go. Blood. Frogs. Lice. Wild beasts, disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, slaying of the firstborn. So now you can take a sip of your cup. This is the cup of plagues. You know, I think that there is a very important lesson for us to be learned from this second cup, the cup of plagues. You see, Pharaoh defied the will of God. He was repeatedly told what God wanted him to do, but his heart was hardened. And Pharaoh said, no, I refuse. I won't let your people go. Now, as a result, Pharaoh brought death and destruction not only upon his land, but also upon his home, right? You remember, his son died because of his hardness of heart. Now tell me, how often do we choose our desires over God's direction? Tell me, how often do we know God's will for our lives? And how often do we say to God, no, I refuse, I will not? Let me give all of us here a little piece of biblical wisdom, okay? If God is telling us to do something, let's just do it. Let's just obey. Amen? But as I've said, Passover is a night of rejoicing, a night of thanksgiving, and a night to praise God. And you know, tonight I can praise God, not only because death passed over my ancestors' homes, and not only because the Lord redeemed us out of the land of Egypt, but because I've been redeemed from an even greater bondage through my faith in the Messiah of Israel, the Messiah Jesus. You see, through Jesus, each one of us can pass over from death to life. Now, after the second cup, the cup of plagues, come my favorite part of Passover, and that's the time where we actually have dinner. That's the time where we actually eat the Passover meal. But, like I told you before, I didn't really prepare a great meal here for all of us here tonight, but I want to take this opportunity to maybe try to explain to you what it's like to have Passover in a Jewish home. Well, how many of you here love Thanksgiving? Do you guys like the holiday Thanksgiving, right? It's a favorite holiday. And I guess for us, Passover is kind of like your Thanksgiving. It's a time for families to gather together. There is a lot of food, of course, traditional recipes, family recipes, and just a great time for families to gather together. But you know, at Passover, for us, something is missing that you all have in Thanksgiving. You know what that is? Football. We don't get any football in Passover. But I want to take this natural break in the Passover service, and I want to tell you a little bit about the ministry that I have the privilege of leading, which is the Ministry of Jews for Jesus in Israel. Now, Jews for Jesus, we are a ministry that exists to relentlessly pursue God's plan for the salvation of the Jewish people. Now, God's plan of salvation for Jewish people is the same plan that He has for salvation for all people. That plan of salvation is only found in Jesus the Messiah. It's the gospel. And we recognize that it's not us who are doing the saving or doing the work, right? It's God who is doing it. So we're simply coming alongside what God is doing in the hearts and lives of people. And we say to God, God, here we are. Here am I. Use me. Our ministry is all about sharing the gospel with our Jewish people. And Jews for Jesus, we have branches all over the world. And I have the privilege of leading the largest Jews for Jesus branch in the world, and that is our branch in Israel, where we have 36 staff. And then you may be asking yourself, so why is your largest Jews for Jesus branch, why is it in Israel? Why is your largest branch in Israel? Well, very simply, that is because Israel is the most Jewish country in the world, right? I mean, if you look at any country in the world, Israel has the largest Jewish population. There are 6.4 million Jewish people that live in Israel today. 6.4 million Jewish people live in Israel today. It breaks my heart to tell you that there are only about 6,000 of those Jewish people who believe in Jesus. 6.4 million Jews in Israel today, only about 6,000 Jewish people who believe in Jesus in Israel today. The Jewish population in Israel is unreached with the gospel. And that's why Jews for Jesus, which is the largest Jewish mission in the world today, that's why we're focusing more and more of our efforts and we're putting more and more of our resources to reach out to our Jewish people in the land of Israel. And tonight, it's my privilege to be here with you and to share with you how you could partner with our ministry as we bring the gospel to our Jewish people in Israel. And you know, our mission is all about fulfilling the Great Commission. And I know that that's your heart as well, right? making disciples of all nations, of all nations. And that's what we are all about as well, making disciples in Israel today. And tonight, there are three ways of how you could partner with our ministry. And first and foremost, the most important way of how you could stand with our mission tonight is through your prayers. We desperately need God's people to be praying for us. We need for you to know how to specifically pray for our ministry. You know why? Because prayer is the secret weapon of evangelism. And we don't pray enough as part of our evangelistic effort. So, if you would please take out this Christ in the Passover pamphlet and just open it completely, okay? And once you open it completely, just fold it along the preferred edge here, okay? And then just remove this third flap, okay? So now, this Christ in the Passover pamphlet is for you to keep. This is a souvenir from today's service. But this other portion that you removed is not for you to keep, okay? This is for you to fill out your name and address. And if you do that, I would love to send you our free monthly Jews for Jesus newsletter. In our Jews for Jesus newsletter, you'll find out more testimonies of Jewish people who've come to faith in Jesus recently. You'll find out more information about the Jewish roots of our faith. But most importantly, we have prayer requests in our newsletter so that you'd know how to pray for our missionaries as we share the gospel with Jewish people all over the world. If you put down your email address on this card, I would love to send you our Israel prayer updates. I write those. I send those once a month from Israel. Sometimes when we have more intense evangelistic outreaches, I send those more often, okay? Again, so that you would know how to specifically pray for us as we share the gospel in Israel. Now, tonight, we're all here celebrating Passover together. And because of that, I want to offer you a free Passover gift. If you fill out this card with your name and address, I would love to send you a map of ancient Israel, of Israel during the time of Jesus. And on that map, we trace the different miracles that Jesus performed as he walked Israel. You know, and we show you the location of the miracle and then the scripture reference. So that's on one side of the map, ancient Israel with the miracles of Jesus. On the other side of the map, we have a map of modern-day Israel, and we have their testimonies of different Israelis who have come to faith through our ministry recently, and we show you the location of where those individuals live. So on one side of the map, we show you the ancient miracles of Jesus, and on the other side of the map, we show you the modern-day miracles that Jesus is performing today in the hearts and lives of people in Israel today. I know that that map would be a great resource for you. I know that it will bless you. So, if you fill out this card and drop it in the offering buckets, okay, and would love to send you that free map, and also would love to get you to become a prayer partner of our ministry, okay? So please fill this out and drop it in the offering plates as we collect the offering later. Secondly, you can partner with our ministry tonight by giving financially in the offering. The offering in its entirety is going to go to bless Israel tonight. Tonight, you have an opportunity to bless Israel with the best blessing that's out there. And who is the best? Jesus, right? Amen. Tonight, you have an opportunity to bless Israel with the gospel. The offering is going to put Hebrew tracts in our missionaries' hands. It's going to enable our missionaries to go out there and meet with those unsaved Israelis who are seeking, who want to know more about the Lord. It's going to enable us to send copies of the New Testament in Hebrew to the people of Israel. You know, most Israelis still haven't held in their hand a New Testament, okay? But you're going to provide Hebrew New Testaments for Israel today by giving financially in the offering. So now that I told you why you should give in the offering tonight, let me give you two reasons why you shouldn't give in the offering tonight, two reasons why you shouldn't support the ministry of Jews for Jesus. You shouldn't give in the offering tonight if you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus is not interested in your money. He wants your life. He wants to be King and Lord of your life. Therefore, if you don't know Jesus yet, please don't give in the offering tonight. Second reason why you shouldn't give in the offering tonight is if you're going to give out of your tithes. Your tithes belong to your home church, wherever that may be. Jews for Jesus, we're not a church, we're an arm of the church. Therefore, any gift that you give to our ministry must be above and beyond your tithes. You must support your local church first. Now, if you do choose to give in the offering, indicate the amount of your gift on this card so that we could properly receipt you and thank you for your gifts. You can give by making checks payable to Jews for Jesus. You can give via cash, also via credit card. You can put your credit card information on this card, and you can give via credit card. But please remember, even if you don't give in the offering tonight, still fill out this card, get that free map of Israel, but also become a prayer partner of our ministry, okay? So even if you don't give, still fill out this card and drop it in the offering plate. Finally, you could partner and stand with our ministry tonight by visiting my resource table right here. On this resource table, I've got a bunch of free stuff. I've got some samples of our newsletter. Please take as many of these as you want. I also have some gospel tracts. But I also have this prayer card for my wife and I, Dina and I. It has our picture, and then on the back, we've got some prayer requests. Would you each please pick up one of these cards, okay? Pick up one of these cards and then put this card in your Bible or in your refrigerator, whichever one you open more often, okay? And this will serve as a prayer reminder. I hope that every time that you see this card that you would remember us in your prayers. As missionaries in Israel, as mission leaders in Israel, we need God's people to be praying for us. So please pick up one of these cards. Pastor, would you please come up? Pray and collect the love offering for our ministry. Then I'll come back up and finish the Passover Seder for us.
Dan, did you tell me earlier that do you pastor a church there as well?
I do.
He does.
Yep. Near our home, we have a church that's we have two services now. The church has really grown, and we have a service in Hebrew for the locals, and then we also have an English service for all the internationals and expats that live in Israel.
Wow. That's great. You know, the Bible tells us, I'm only 3% Jewish, Dan, I'm sorry, with my, ancestry.com. But if I'm 3%, am I not considered Jewish? But anyway, the Bible tells us as Gentiles, those of us that are, that we should take care of and support the root from which we got our faith. And, you know, when I hear something like 6.4 million Jews in Israel and only 6,000 are believers, that just totally breaks my heart. There's a lot of work to be done. The Lord can do it. But He needs other people to partner. He needs people to work and to care and to love. So tonight, if we could just really bless the work that's going on there, I would consider it a personal favor. And I know God would take it and He would use it for His glory. So let's just pray. I think our guys are going to be coming around. Is that right? Here in a minute. And so you heard Dan say, if you have a check, you can just make it to Jews for Jesus. And let's pray and let's offer to God what we're going to give. And then the men are going to be coming around and they'll pick it up for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the land of Israel, for the Jewish people. If it were not for them, Lord, I would not know my Savior. And Father, I thank You so very much for that honor of being able to receive that great gift. And tonight I can sow back, Lord, into Israel and into an effort that I know will ultimately be successful to see the Jewish people come to their Messiah. So Lord, bless what we give tonight. Speak to everyone and tell them what to do. And Lord, as we obey that, we pray that You will bless Dan and his family and that You would bless this offering and use it for Your glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you as you give. just wave at the guys. If you've got something, just wave at them or whatever, and be sure that they see you. All right, praise God. Thank you so much for blessing Jews for Jesus and the work that they're doing there. And as a matter of fact, there's a family here tonight that went to your church, right? They went to your church in Israel. You guys wave your hand. Did he do okay? Was it a good church? You miss it a lot. Wow. So you guys just moved here? In November, you were living in Israel, and now you're working here in Fort Worth, Lockheed, back home. We'll bless you and thank you. It's nice to meet you. Well, Dan, come on, Dad, take us home.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much. And now comes the third cup, the cup of redemption, which is the focal point of the entire of Passover, really. This is the point. This is the moment we've all been waiting for, but we can't proceed just yet because something is missing. Do you remember that earlier on, something was broken and buried? Do you remember what it was called?
Afikoman.
The Afikoman, that's right. So I'm going to ask all your children who didn't peek before, okay, to come up here, come and meet me right here. We'll wait for everybody to gather, and then you all on my mark will start searching for the Afikoman, okay? So come right up here. No looking for anything yet. Just come and gather right here. Come on, kids. Let's wait for everybody to come. Hello, kids. How are you? Hello, cool. Okay, kids, you ready? Are you ready? Okay, now, don't break anything, okay? At least try not to, okay? And it's okay to move some things, but gently, okay, little by little, now going crazy. Okay, ready? Go. Wow, that was really quick. How'd you do it so quick? Good job. No, that's not the one. It's this one. Okay, kid, you stay right here. Everybody else, go back. Thank you so much, kids. Good job. Give him a hand. So, mind me your name again?
Shiloh.
So, Shiloh, you give it back to the head of the household. But actually, Shiloh, before you give it back, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to you know the word negotiate? You're supposed to kind of trade it for a gift, you know? So, where are your parents? Are your parents here? Can you raise your hand if you're Shiloh's parents? Right back there. You owe her a gift, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Here you go. This is for you. Thank you for finding the Afikoman. Good job. Give her a hand. So, all the kids look for the Afikoman, and only one finds it. And once it's found, it's removed from the pouch, and it is broken again. This time, each person receives a piece of it about the size of an olive, and this olive-sized piece is taken together with the third cup, the cup of redemption. Now, does this look familiar? Well, it should, for this is the origin of our communion service. But not only that, consider this. Tell me, where else do we see a clear picture of our Messiah Jesus than in this custom regarding the Afikoman, which is broken, buried, and then brought back? You know, even the matzah itself, which is unleavened, which is a symbol of sinless nature, points to us to Jesus. Our rabbis have set down very specific regulations concerning the preparation of matzah, the preparation of unleavened bread, if it is to be found suitable for use. One of these regulations is that the matzah must be pierced. Do you see that it's pierced? Everybody, take a little piece of matzah and look at it through the light, and you'll see that it's pierced. And we all know that Jesus was pierced, right? God speaking to us through the prophet Zechariah said, "They should look upon me whom they have pierced." Do you see the stripes on the matzah? Look at the matzah. Do you see the stripes? Isaiah the prophet speaking about the suffering servant, speaking about Messiah, Jesus said, "And by his stripes we are healed." But you know, I can see our Messiah symbolically, not only in the Afikoman and not only in the matzah, but I also see him in the matzah tash as well. Do you remember this pouch containing the three layers of matzah from which the Afikoman is removed? Well, there is quite a bit of disagreement among our rabbis about the meaning of this strange pouch, this mysterious three in one. Some rabbis teach us that the three layers of matzah here represent the three patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? Still other rabbis teach us that the three layers of matzah here represent the three divisions of worship in the ancient kingdom, the priests, the Levites, and the people of Israel. But again, why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? You see, in the Jewish community today, the origin of this tradition has been lost. That's why there are so many competing explanations. But there is another explanation which has its roots in the first century. You see, there are three layers of matzah here, and yet they form a unity, a triunity. A Hebrew word which speaks of such unity is the word echad. And it reminds me the word of God that was given to us through Moses when Moses declared, "Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad." Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But the word that he used for one in that verse is the word in Hebrew, Echad, which means unity. And so each year at Passover, the head of the household removes the middle layer from this Echad, from this unity. And it is made visible to us, while the other two remain hidden from our view. In the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, we Jews who know the Messiah know also that the unity of the Matzatash bears witness to the unity of one God revealed to us in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? I know why. Because Jesus was broken, he was buried, and he was brought back. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for all of us." Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's now time for the third cup, the cup of redemption. The fruit of the vine at Passover is always red. Our rabbis tell us to remind us of the precious blood of the first Passover lamb sacrificed so that we might be redeemed from slavery and bondage to Pharaoh. And in the same way, the blood of another Passover lamb was sacrificed in order to redeem us from slavery and bondage to sin. It was concerning this cup, the third cup, the cup that's taken after dinner, that Messiah Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Jesus spoke of the new covenant that was promised to us by God through the prophet Jeremiah when he said, "Behold, days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. After those days, I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I shall write it, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people." The broken piece of afikoman and the third cup, the cup of redemption, they're taken together at Passover in remembrance of the blood and body of the Passover lamb. Our Passover lamb here tonight is the Lord Jesus. So, take a piece of matzah and take the cup together, and let me pray, and then we'll partake together, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do this in remembrance of you, Lord. Lord, we recognize that this piece of matzah is a symbol of your body that suffered on the cross for our sins. Lord, we recognize that this cup of redemption is your blood. It's a symbol of your blood that was shed on the cross that wipes away our sins. Lord God, just as the blood of the lamb was placed on the doorpost of our home, so your blood, Lord God, is on our hearts tonight. And we believe, Lord God, like you say, that we will pass over from death to eternal life in Jesus. So, Lord, we do this indeed in remembrance of you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake. So, what should our response be? But of course, praising God, right, for the redemption and the salvation that we have in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Messiah Jesus. So we come very naturally to the fourth cup, which is called the cup of Hallel, or the cup of praise. Now, all of you know a Hebrew word. I know you know this word because a lot of you said it before, but I wonder if you know, if you realize that that word is in Hebrew, and that word, of course, is hallelujah. Did you know that it's in Hebrew? And the word hallelujah has in it this word, hallel, which means praise. And of course, hallelujah means praise the Lord, right? Praise God. So, this is the fourth cup, the cup of Hallel, or the cup of praise. And what we do at home during this time is we sit back and first we read from the scriptures the great Hallels, the great praises. Those are Psalms 113 all the way to Psalm 118. And as we drink this fourth cup very slowly, at the end of each psalm, we shout together as a family, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then we continue just, you know, sipping slowly from our cup, and we go around the table and we just share, and why are we praising God? What has God done in our lives that therefore we're praising Him tonight? And again, at the end of each testimony, what do? We shout, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right. So tonight, we're going to take our last sip from our cup so you can finish your cups. But before we do that, can we all shout hallelujah together? Let's do this on three, okay? One, two, three. Hallelujah. Amen. Fourth cup, the cup of Hallel, or the cup of praise. But there is one last cup which I haven't told you about. I wonder if you noticed it, and it's this cup over here. Now, this cup is called the cup of Elijah. Now, no one drinks from this cup. In fact, in many Jewish homes at Passover, an entire place setting is left untouched, all for the prophet Elijah. But why? Why this longing for the prophet Elijah? Well, it is recorded by the Hebrew prophet Malachi that before the Messiah comes, that he will be preceded by the return of Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet. And so each year at Passover, a child goes to the door. He or she opens it wide open, hoping, praying, longing for the prophet to enter the home and to announce the coming of the Messiah. But you know, in my home in Israel, each year as we celebrate the Passover as a family, we never do this tradition of opening the door for Elijah the prophet. You know why? Because we know that Elijah has returned. For when Jesus spoke of the prophet John, he said of him, "If you care to accept it, he himself is Elijah who has come." You see, the prophet, the forerunner of the Messiah, has come, and so has the Messiah himself, Jesus, the Savior of the world. So tonight, brothers and sisters, I hope that indeed you experienced and you saw Christ in the Passover. You know, this feast of Passover was given to Israel long ago. Until this day, Jewish people in Israel keep this Passover feast. But brothers and sisters, Jesus fulfilled this Passover feast. How blessed are we to have Jesus, the fulfillment of Passover. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord God, Father, thank you so much for Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Passover Lamb that was sacrificed for us. Lord God, we thank you that indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, Lord God, we have life. We have life. Lord, help us as your church, as your body, to rise up and to be a testimony in light of all of this, and preaching the gospel, making disciples, pointing people to you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. Father, I thank you so much for the pastors of this church, for the leadership of this church. I pray that you bless them. Lord God, I pray that you bless all of us and keep us and make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, Lord God and Father. Give us your peace, your shalom. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you.